Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World Title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for 10 pounds of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from the Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swath Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I am doing pretty damn good, to be honest. I am still riding high off of our viewing last night, Luke, of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the main event of WrestleMania X7. We're not going to go too deeply into our thoughts, because you've got to pay for that stuff. That is for our Patreon-exclusive podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra. It's like our 3 to 4 hour review of WrestleMania X7 from the year 2001, back when Limp Bizkit was a thing and My Way was on every other segment.
Mm-hmm.
That will be up tomorrow.
Yes, it will be up.
Hopefully, or imminently.
Imminently.
I shouldn't have given a time frame.
No, you should not have done, because we said on yesterday's podcast that we were going to go finish our recording. We haven't quite finished it yet. We've still got a bit more to record, and then I've got to edit the sucker together. So yeah, it should be either up tonight, or it's going to be up tomorrow, Thursday. But I shouldn't have put a time frame on it either. Anyway, it's coming very soon. Imminent.
It's just every time we think we're nearing the end, we talk more and we have to do more recording.
Absolutely,
which is just us, isn't it?
What did you get up to last night?
So, not a great damn deal at all. Because I listened to a podcast entirely on sleep last week. It was Joe Rogan, but we call him Bro Rogan in our household.
God, you are so cool.
Because that makes me laugh. And
surely Joe Brogan is a funnier...
No, he's a bro. He's Bro Rogan.
Okay.
I'm Bro Davis.
God, you guys are lame.
And that he had a sleep expert, a neuroscientist on, and this guy was just talking about loads of sleep stuff, and I thought, damn, I want to get my sleep really good after this.
What was his suggestions on getting your sleep good?
So just sleeping for a while, to be honest. Sleeping...
Breaking news!
I know. Well, you know, some people say I can sleep for 6 hours and get by. That is statistically way not true.
No, but I get about 6 hours sleep.
Well, yes. Well, you are not performing on optimum capacity there, Luke. If you... men who sleep an average of 6 hours a night, they have the testosterone levels of someone 10 years their senior. So you have aged 10 years in that very important metric for male fidelity.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you should be getting between 7.5 and 9 hours.
9 hours just seems like a long time.
That's on the longer end.
Like,
yes.
My wife and I are usually in bed and asleep by 10, half 10. And then, well, I suppose that's about, you know, maybe 7 hours, because I'm then up at 5:30 to start doing work for this. So, yeah, I mean, that's about 7 hours. Yeah. But, like, my body just wakes me up at that point. I now struggle to have lie-ins. My wife can sleep for days, though. Mm. Like, she's a very sleepy person. Put a film on, you know, for starters, that would make her fall asleep. And yeah, she's just a very sleepy. She loves a lie-in. But she's getting, she's doing really well at the moment of getting up and doing yoga and stuff. But I'm not here to praise my wife.
For a change. So what we did, like, to how this relates to last night, is I've kind of put a curfew on all things fun. That stops at 8 p.m. So anything fun stops at 8. No screens. No, not a great deal of electronic light.
I like this. This is good.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just seeing how that affects it. And yeah, you fall asleep. You start getting genuinely sleepy around 9:30, and then we're dead asleep by 10:30. I get sleep very fine anyway, but my lady partner takes a while to nod off.
Well,
it's helping her.
I love going to bed at 9 and reading for an hour or so and then getting some sleep. I like just shutting everything off and getting away from screens at 1 hour. I think that's always a really good thing. Problem is, we're just really into Westworld at the moment, so that just means that we have to stay up and watch that.
I hear that's a show.
It is a show.
Wow.
It is a show. It is a show that I am very much enjoying.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
Yeah, we're very close to the end of the first season now, so I'm pretty stoked on it at the moment.
My lady partner gets very non-committal about undertakings like that. Because I think I've got a good success rate, but I've put a few duds out there. You know, should we watch the new Lost in Space reboot?
Oh,
why do I even bother?
Why did you even
Why did I even bother?
That was for you and you alone, and you knew that.
Hey, I nearly said a name. Hey, Anna, do you want to watch Star Trek Discovery?
Did.
I don't care. Yeah, because So, like, things like that. She goes, yeah, but we watched that one episode of that one thing. I was like, oh, sorry. That was 50 minutes of our life that was perfectly well spent. Taking a risk. Can't just watch Friends every night and come dine with me. But yeah, that's by the by. So, yeah. But the other thing is, like, my lady partner doesn't enjoy reading. It's not something she likes to do. I do. So when you haven't got screens, what is there to do, really, apart from the wireless?
I was going to say, yeah, podcasts. You can listen to podcasts.
Oh, yeah, but I can't. Can't read when there's another voice going on.
Put some headphones in.
That's what I ended up doing, but that makes me feel a bit like disconnected.
No. Oh, no, I was going to say she could put headphones in.
That makes her feel disconnected.
Well, yeah. I mean,
she just wants to chat, and I want to read.
Well,
stuff.
I understand your issue, man, and I'm sure you'll work it out. I've got a podcast recommendation for your lady partner as well, actually, only because it's a podcast recommendation that I would give to pretty much everyone. I will get a lot of heat for suggesting this sort of thing anyway, but my wife suggested it to me, and I think it's grand. It's called the Guilty Feminist Podcast, which is really good. It's two comedians kind of talking about these sorts of issues, and I've really liked it. But it's an excellent show.
What do they talk about?
Just different topics each week. So, like, in the first
periods.
No, in the first couple, they talk about pornography and nudity and and things like that. And, like, they challenge themselves to do things. So, like, for the nudity episode, one of them went to a life drawing class as a model so that they could be comfortable with their nudity. And another person went to do, like, a boudoir shoot so they could be comfortable with their nudity. And then come back and kind of report what happens from there. But there's other things like food and, like, anger and all these sorts of stuff. And it's just, like, it's very interesting to kind of, like, hear these different perspectives. I don't always agree with them, but I it's funny. It's interesting to hear perspectives.
I just like my own perspectives fed back to me
via
Bro Rogan. What would we do if we wanted to test ourselves?
I don't know, but that's basically like challenges, isn't it, that we just don't do anymore?
Yeah. Well, you know. Backlash is going to have some serious weight. So we've got some nice reviews from people.
Do you want to do those now?
Yeah. Sam from Miami says 5 stars from Sammy and Zane. Yes, my name is Sammy, and my brother's name is Zane, but spelled Z-A-N-E or Z-A-N-E.
Like the lad from One Direction.
Anyway,
no, that's with a Y.
Anyway, this podcast is one, if not the best wrestling podcast on the market.
It's the latter half.
Luke and Ollie are absolute perfection on the mic. I started off watching them on YouTube and was ecstatic to hear these guys have a podcast. They are consistent,
yes,
brilliant, hilarious, and very knowledgeable about all kinds of spoons. Their wrestling knowledge is pretty good too. Thank you for making me look forward to my commute to work. Us Podswafters love your work.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank
and
you,
Zane.
Sam and Zane.
Lovely
and
stuff.
Sam from Miami. That's a good point about the spoons.
We haven't done spoons for a while.
I tell you what, let's get on with the show and I'll get some spoon research. And I don't know about you, Swaff Nation, but my heart was in my chest and then my mouth and I kind of vomited it on the floor when WWE said last night on SmackDown, it was Todd Phillips, whatever his name is, he said, because of the Greatest Royal Rumble match where Daniel Bryan lasted an unprecedented 2 days or mm-hmm. something, wasn't it? He had those horrible chops from Roderick Strong on his chest. They showed a little interview with Bryan after that match, and he said, you know, it wasn't the tiredness, it was just Braun was a better man. Braun won at the end, no one could eliminate him. You can't blame this on my tiredness. Great promo as always. But then it cuts back to Todd Phillips at ringside, and he says, because of those sort of lacerations on Bryan's chest, he hasn't been medically cleared to compete tonight on last night's episode of SmackDown out of fear of infection. Now, I hear Daniel Bryan isn't medically cleared to compete, and I just immediately get worried. Because why wouldn't you? We know he's getting medically tested, concussion tested, after every match he has. That was one of the conditions, reportedly, of his return to action in WWE. Thankfully, I'm not going to, string this out more, he fought in the dark match for the live crowd, so it's okay. But oh my god, I was worried.
That's really interesting, because I wasn't at all.
You just don't care, though. You're a nastier person.
Well, I'm obviously just I'm a horrible person, but when, because they did the whole, Daniel Bryan is not medically cleared, I was like, cool, storyline then, because he's got a match on Sunday. So I was like, that's just a storyline for him not to be on SmackDown tonight. And then when Big Cass came out to do his promo, I instantly went, little person coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
You called it.
Called it. I was like, bet you it's a little person.
Yeah.
Road Dogg's booking the show, man. Who's his best friend in the whole wide world, apart from Jeff Jarrett? Vince Russo. It just feels like low blows, little people. The Attitude Era is alive and well in a PG form.
But we said just now, low blows are over, man.
Low blow is so over.
So we just watched a video clip of it was Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke Nakamura in the dark match main event. So that's only for the live crowd only. This didn't play on TV last night. So that's how we know Daniel Bryan is okay, thank God. But yeah, I'm surprised you went, not even a little bit. You're
not even a little bit. Do you know what? It's really weird. I just feel that now, because he's been in the ring, he wrestled for 4 days or whatever it was at the Greatest Royal Rumble, and he's had matches since. He wrestled WrestleMania, and he's been on TV, and he's had matches there. I just feel like now, he's fine. Like, that worry of him taking bumps, him hitting his head, I don't know, maybe there's just been this, this pressure has been lifted off my chest where I'm like, I don't have to worry about him anymore. I think he's all right. So now when they say things like he's not medically cleared, my mind instantly goes, storyline. Mm. It's just a storyline. It's to cover him not being on this show so we can, just save him before the pay-per-view. Because SmackDown is, what I like about SmackDown is that not all the same stars are on the same shows every single week.
I'm a warrior.
You are a warrior.
I'm a warrior. But hopefully I'll get to your place in a while.
Mm.
I mean, he wrestled, like you said, he wrestled for 17 days at the Greatest... That's probably why he wasn't on the show.
Yes.
Because he was still in that Greatest Royal Rumble match.
Trying to throw out Braun.
Yeah. And so if he's having that level of match, that's insane performance.
Oh,
to wrestle for 75 minutes. And then, it wasn't like it was... He was on the canvas for most of the time. Every person who came in there, he rushed over to work with.
And there was
a spirited performance.
And there were times during that Greatest Royal Rumble when Daniel Bryan would get in the mix with someone, and I'm like, oh, I want to see a match. I want to see a full match. Like when Chad Gable got in, I was like, yes, please, I want to see that match. When Roddy got in, I was like, yes, please, I want to see that match. There was just guy after guy, the guy in the ring, I was like, oh, it's so great to have Daniel Bryan back, and I cannot wait for more of this. I had a really interesting theory, actually, about Daniel Bryan's chest. They said it was from the chops. There was a lot of things.
Knife-edge chops,
as JR we used to call them. God, we're talking a lot about WrestleMania X7, aren't we, at the moment? I make a WrestleMania X7 joke in my SmackDown review. It's just on my mind at the moment.
Wonder why.
I wonder why. Pledge on Patreon. And what was the point I was going to make? Yeah, a theory that I heard, that it wasn't just the chops that made his chest like that. It was all the times he was being pushed against the ropes and, like, being pushed over. Wow. Because there were so many, like, elimination attempts on him. And that's what it was, just, like, the constant pressure of being pushed against the ropes, being worked over. That's what actually was, like, really, like, opening his chest up. It's just a theory. I don't know if that's true. It's just that someone has posited that as a potential.
I wouldn't be surprised, because as anyone who's done any modicum of wrestling training,
those ropes suck.
You're this guy included.
This guy included here.
This guy included.
I was very bad.
They hurt. Just bouncing off the ropes like that. It's not like, you know, I always used to think, oh, they're like soft little ropes. That seems fun. Way, bounce off momentum. Untrue. They are like steel ropes that just lacerates, cut into the side of you, and it's bruises all along. It's horrible. But Daniel Bryan was fine. But yes. He used to get a lot of infections. That's one of the reasons he went vegan back in the day. It was apparently a doctor's advice, because he loves to, what do you call it? It's not just grappling, but kind of legit amateur chain wrestle on the mat. And canvases can get very dirty because so many people are sweating, various bodily juices are flying around. You are in quite a danger of getting skin infections. Dermatitis.
I'm not a doctor.
And
wasn't he in the Greatest Royal Rumble?
Yeah, it was good.
Is that
show
that NXT call-up? Baba Tumke or whatever his name was.
And I'm sure that's kind of racist.
I was referring to the Baba Tumunke or whatever his name was.
Cool. I'm not sure that's a skin disease. And so Daniel Bryan, apparently he kept on getting these skin infections, and a doctor said go vegan, and he did go vegan, and they cleared up for a while, and then they came back.
It seems vegans are great.
It's not the answer to everything. It's like, oh, you feel a little bit lethargic. Go vegan.
Yeah.
You didn't like Infinity War? You got it. Go vegan, man. That'll
sort yourself out. Who was it we were talking about recently that, like, he was vegan and they used... Oh, it was Zack Sabre Jr.
Yes.
In all of his New Japan Cup run, when he just had, like, guest commentators going on, and each one of them would just go, like, he's a vegan and I just want to punch him in the face for it. Was it Bad Luck Fale that kept saying
Bad Luck Fale and Rocky Romero could not comprehend this meat-free diet.
So funny. Oh, I loved it. But yeah, but Daniel Bryan, like, we watched the clip of him in the dark match against Shinsuke Nakamura, and, like, what a rabid crowd we had on SmackDown Live. Bizarrely, not in Bizarro World this time, the crowd were cheering the people that they usually cheer and booing the people they usually boo.
Well, they cheered Samoa Joe. Heel.
Oh, maybe, yeah, Bizarro World.
I think everyone gets cheered, actually. Exactly. The heels get cheered the most. Oh, Big Cass got booed.
He did, yes. Yeah, eventually. And it just made me think, like, man, I can't wait for that future feud. Now, then that's what I really liked about SmackDown. We're going to do the full review in a minute, but what I really liked about this week's SmackDown Live, which I thought was on the whole an average show, I just thought that everything it was setting up was making me go, like, I want to see more of this. I want to see more of this. I want to see more of that. And I can't wait to see this. So I thought, on the whole, that's what it really did well. And, like, seeing Bryan and Nakamura there, I was like, what a feud that's going
to
be.
Yeah, well, you said that's a job done for a wrestling show to make you want to see future matches.
Apart
that's
from
the,
Backlash.
The raison d'etre for it. So that Daniel Bryan Shinsuke Nakamura match is a 45-second clip floating around online. And, I mean, wow. now that's a possibility.
There's
so many possibilities that I've forgotten. Like, who would have thought Roderick Strong was something I wanted? I didn't even think about that until last Friday. But Daniel Bryan's doing the yes kicks. Of course, the Montreal crowd are going, wee. So it's the wee kicks. And then Daniel Bryan goes for that last one that would it be fair to say it has a 95% fail rate?
I wouldn't say 95%, but there is a ratio between failure and success.
And at one point, I would retire a move if it...
Well, I mean, it's like...
It's over, yes. I'm just...
Well, no, I'm saying, like, if I was in a match with John Cena, do you know what I'm not going to do after he hits his shoulder tackles on me? Swing a punch. Because guarantee you, he'll duck underneath it and then hit a backdrop on me. I would just think, like, not me, mate. Doing it.
I have seen you.
I've studied this, mate.
Yeah.
I've tape studied you.
He goes for the last one, but Nakamura ducks and gets the low blow. Nuclear heat from the crowd, but the person filming just goes, the low blows are over in 2018. I love it.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon-exclusive podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review classic pay-per-views from wrestling's past. Previous episodes include Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, WrestleMania 25, and more. The next episode continues the WrestleMania theme with arguably the best Mania ever, WrestleMania X7, featuring the epic main event of The Rock vs. Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. It also has the Triple H vs. Undertaker match you're supposed to forget happened, and the Gimmick Battle Royal! Your backing will get you access to all previous episodes too. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information. That's patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's a SmackDown review, Magal. I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
Paige here. That's right. Paige is opening SmackDown after. You know what I appreciated about the greatest Royal Rumble recap package in front of SmackDown, as opposed to the Raw one, which is Raw. Look. Beautiful city of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, guys. Historic night. But SmackDown was more like this story thing happened.
Yes.
And this story thing happened.
Yeah, Shane McMahon took a heck of a bump off Brawny the Strowman, threw him off the top rope into the announcer table to eliminate him. What a heck of a bump that was. Mm. Shane McMahon is not here tonight, so it's just, quite literally, Paige here.
Yes, and hopefully, I mean, I don't want to wish ill on someone. That's not what I'm doing. But hopefully that's the end of Shane for a while.
Oh, no, he'll be back next week, mate.
Think? What up, place? Shuffle feet.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he'll be there at Backlash. No, no, he won't. They didn't really do general managers at those pay-per-views, do they? He'll be on SmackDown next week. They'll find a way.
I'm just hoping this is Paige can now make the show her own. Mm-hmm. You don't need Paige and Shane's awkward. Ugh, I didn't like it when they were together. but Paige also, so Paige says Shane won't be around for a while because of that. And because we didn't get a conclusive winner after the AJ Styles Shinsuke Nakamura match, because Nakamura gave the low blow to AJ, it was a disqualification.
No, it was a count out.
It was a count out. That's right. My apologies.
And then AJ kept attacking Nakamura after the match as well.
To get a clear and definitive winner at this Sunday's Backlash show, we will have a
no.
DQ disqualification. Match. Disqualification match.
I made the exact same. As soon as she said no DQ, mine instantly went, no. And I thought, I'm going to make that joke in the review.
It's WrestleMania X7. That is how The Fink introduces Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin's no disqualification match.
It makes me laugh every time.
It's just, like, I really get Tim Curry from Home Alone 2.
Oh, yes.
So this massive blood feud, which is also disqualification. So that's good. With all the bad referee calls,
yeah,
it's like if I was running WWE and these just all coalesced at the same time, I would run a little fun referee points, you know, best practice backstage skit seminar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, that was my idea off of this.
So we cut Angle backstage with like a referee's rule guide, being like, look, this, if this happens, do this. If this doesn't happen, carry on.
Well, you know who's not working right now?
Who's
not? Well, for any major promotion, Earl Hebner.
Oh, referee
so
Earl Hebner.
So Kurt could say, I brought in a
TNA
consultant.
TNA Hall of Famer, yeah. Earl Hebner.
I brought, or he's the other brother, the other one. You could get either of them.
Dave Hebner.
Dave.
I think it's Dave Hebner.
And Brian.
And I think Brian is his son.
All of the Hebners.
All the Hebners. Just bring them all
just
in.
Just get them in, and they can run, like, backstage. Here's things to look out for. And then maybe you could use that to, like, actually lay down some rules and say, these are now the rules in WWE this year.
Earl Hebner, who, if memory serves, holds a win on pay-per-view for the WWF.
Oh, against...
Nick Patrick at Invasion.
Invasion, yeah. Yes, for the referee versus referee match.
Indeed.
So the show probably kicked off in the ring with Miz TV, and his guest was Jeff Hardy. What do you make of Miz's red outfit? Because I thought this was a WrestleMania thing, but let me check. It's not WrestleMania anymore. It's been here for about a month.
He was wearing... It's like a Naruto headband-esque thing. I don't mind it, to be honest. It's just The Miz. Like, when I look at him, I'm just like, oh, mate, you're an absolute dick anyway. So it's fine that you're dressed like one, too.
I guess I'm being worked, brother. I just liked his old look.
So he brought out Jeff Hardy for this. And essentially, like, he was using this to promote the match at Backlash that he is having against Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship, asking, like, do you not think that I would be a better Intercontinental Champion than Seth Rollins is? And Jeff Hardy responded by, like, if you were better than Seth freaking Rollins, you'd have beaten him at the Greatest Royal Rumble, etc., etc., etc. Eventually, there's a surprise on around the corner, though, because it's not just Jeff Hardy that's booked for Miz TV. Randy Orton is also here to and then Miz essentially, yeah, he just tries to stir the pot. And I've written in my notes here, so every time that Miz was trying to, like, say, oh, but there's that time Jeff did that thing to you, and then Randy's like, yeah, it doesn't really bother me. And he's like, yeah, but what about the SmackDown Live top 10 list? I'm like, mate, no one cared about that. But then Randy Orton essentially is just like, you know, me and Jeff, we're cool. And I was like, oh, it's Ollie's favourite thing. It's baby faces who just get on.
You know what, though? Everything else on the show wasn't baby faces getting on. It was actually everyone is super competitive over titles. And here, this came good in the end. So this worked perfectly. And it wasn't just like, you know, we're totally cool, man. This is just professional rivalry, you know, just trying to be the best for the United States title. It wasn't just that, because Miz was like, that's it. You're not angry with each other? And it was really funny. It was a really nice way of approaching a go-home angle like this. The crowd thought it was funny, and Randy Orton got to say nobody cares about the top 10 list. Finally putting a pin in that. Yeah. Do you want to have some words of memoriam for the top 10 list?
Oh, for the top 10 list. The top
10 list. You were so hopeful.
I mean, a lot of people can, like, criticize me for being so negative on WWE. I was probably the only person in the entire world, apart from maybe Road Dogg and Ryan Ward, who thought that the SmackDown Live top 10 list might do something. It might start feuds. It might give impetus for people to be more competitive. But nope, it was there for about a week. It started one feud between Randy Orton and Bobby Roode. But even then, it was basically just Randy Orton going, like, this is a bit dumb though, isn't it? And then no one cared about it. And then Dave Meltzer just wrote in The Observer, yeah, they're dropping that angle now. And then they dropped it.
Maybe that's why he blocked me.
Randy Orton.
Because I was down on the top 10
But
thing.
He was also down as well, so surely he'd have been tweeting you going like, I agree, I concur.
But people always say like, oh man, you guys are too cynical about WWE. Be optimistic about where the future and the direction of these storylines are going. It's stuff like this that burns us. I wasn't optimistic about it, but Luke was. Luke got his hopes and dreams up about the top 10, and look, they just crush you. So next time something that's kind of exciting comes along, you know, you're going to be, oh, I've been burned by this sort of thing before.
Burned so many times.
Crap on it.
And I think that's now, in the last maybe 10 years, 8 years, let's say, that a top 10 rankings list has completely failed after 1 week or so. Because TNA tried to do it with, like, when Bischoff and Hogan came in, they, like, tried to do the, we're introducing this top 10 list, and the viewers get to vote on who should be the next contender. And it never worked, because they always wanted Abyss to win, and Desmond Wolfe kept winning instead. And they were like, that's not who we want. So they just put Desmond Wolfe in squash matches where he kept losing.
Yeah. And then Boatimate Boatface wins. And what are you going to do there?
Exactly, yeah. So, and then this one hasn't worked either. It didn't really work. The idea in principle was sort of there, but in practice it was an absolute
disaster.
You've
got to commit. Or maybe it's something like communism, where it just never works in practice.
I think you're right on that. They just needed to commit to it. They needed it to be across multiple feuds, as opposed to just that one feud where no one cared.
But this is, again, the argument for communism. You just need the right set of people in charge. You just need to commit to it and not become corrupt. Maybe it's the same thing with the top 10 list.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, but anyway, some scholars really have to look at those similarities.
But Shelton Benjamin then came out, and he, because he beat Randy Orton last week, said, hang about, lads. I beat Randy last week. Surely I should be the number one contender to the United States Championship, which is an excellent point, Shelton Benjamin. And then I looked at it, I was like, haha. Two baby faces, two heels. Holla, holla. I think we've got a tag team match, player, which is what we got.
I was fully expecting Shelton to get added to the US title match by the end of this match. Yeah, but I'm fine that he isn't. I think you can play into this later on down the line. But it's just like, oh no, last month was the multi-matches.
Now we're
back to singles matches.
Absolutely,
Are there any multi-matches on Backlash?
I don't think I can name you a single match that's happening anyway. Well, I can name you a handful of them. But like when we do the predictions show, which we're recording later on today, that will probably be the first time where I've looked at the Backlash card in full to be like, oh, so this is what is happening.
So Shelton and Miz took on Randy and Jeff. The Canadian crowd were having a lot of fun. Sometimes with the match, sometimes by themselves. They just started chanting Olay for a while.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
It was fun. It was funny, actually. I think I saw someone in the comments yesterday ask why you didn't understand that the Canadian crowd were chanting Olay, saying like, oh, I thought Ollie would understand because it's a Sami Zayn and El Generico thing. Problem was, when you asked, I didn't understand why they were doing it. It was a Seth Rollins segment.
That's
exactly why you didn't understand.
Totally get the El Generico stuff.
Yeah.
See, Luke does read the comments.
I don't. I said, because a lot of people have mistook what I said, I'm not reading them as much.
I think you did say, I don't read comments anymore.
Well, I was trying not to, only because I was just getting wound up by people saying stupid things.
All YouTubers go through this phase. It's fine. You know, you love the YouTube comments, then you go, I'm not going to read any more of them. And then you come back and you realise, it's not all bad.
There's loads of lovely people.
It's just the nasty ones that stick out.
It's always the negative reviews that you remember the most. But those are the ones that don't bother me. It's the stupid comments that wind me up. And those are the ones that play in my mind and I think about. Anywho, this was a basic little tag team match. And it had a really fun ending. Orton got the hot tag and he hit his table backdrop on Miz, and then the double rope DDT thing.
Yeah, that got a big pop.
RKO to Shelton Benjamin and the Swanton Bomb. I thought it was a fun little finish.
Yeah, I really liked Shelton Benjamin's running knee.
Oh, it's so awesome.
So Jeff Hardy's in position for the Swanton Bomb on the top rope, but Miz holds his leg and Shelton runs up and clobbers him in the face with a knee. Gets a wicked sound off it. But yeah, they're celebrating after the match, and wouldn't you believe it? Randy hit an RKO from totally out of somewhere on Jeff.
Yeah.
This was a really fun opener, and the crowd was super into it. And it built a match on Sunday.
Do you know what it was missing, though? It was missing that one shot of Jeff Hardy looking up and smiling at Randy Orton, going like, you got me, man. You got me. What pants?
Oh, man. Pants. Backlash pants.
Backlash pants. I should have seen it coming.
Back pants. Bantslash.
backstage, I think I've skipped a segment here. Backstage, Renee, one of my favourite moments of the show, actually. Renee is with the Iconics, and Peyton Royce does one of her patented
Nice.
I've just come up with that.
Was that you? That wasn't something...
I just thought I should have used that in the review.
Oh, that's good, man.
Patented impressions.
So, because her name's Peyton Royce, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's where the joke works. She did one of her patented impressions of Renee Young, which, like, I mean, I've got to admit, was particularly spot on.
It's uncanny.
It was uncanny. Made even better by Billy Kay just going like, oh, it's like Renee and Renee. Oh, it's... so close. But it turns out she was doing a Minnesotan accent, not a Canadian accent, and Renee was a little bit upset about this, and then they just told her to go away.
Well, they didn't tell her to go away. They told her to go chase a moose or something.
That's right. Oh, they are so good. I love these two.
They're really good. And then Carmella comes in, and they're all the heels are overly congratulatory to each other, and they just to hype the six-woman main event tag match.
Yeah, because even after the superstar shake-up, SmackDown's still going to SmackDown. You can't get rid of these six-woman tag matches.
I didn't hate it, though, because as they're usually just thrown together, this was very prominently featured. It was built up throughout the night, and everyone had legitimate grievances and storylines going into
there
it.
There are multiple storylines going on with the women's division, because you've got Carmella and Charlotte. You've got the Iconics saying that they're better than Asuka. But more interestingly, I feel, and this was one that was really built up throughout the show and in the main event, Becky trying to re-find her feet in the women's division. They're really playing up this storyline at the moment that she has lost her way and she's been lost in the shuffle and she needs to find something to get her back in.
Whoa, boy. Rein this back in.
Uh-oh.
I can just feel you doing it again. You get in. You think they're going to push Becky. It's the top 10 list.
Oh, no. And she was in the top 10 list. Yeah, she was number nine, I think.
Just lower those expectations.
Okay, lower the expectations.
Just... yeah, bring it down.
Yeah, anyway.
The sun's getting real low.
Someone's been watching Age of Ultron. Anyway, backstage, the Bar are walking with their SmackDown Live contracts because they didn't beat the Deleter of Worlds at Greatest Royal Rumble. They're now officially SmackDown Live talent. And they they run into the New Day, who do wacky stuff.
So sometimes the New Day are on the obnoxious, annoying side of the hilarious... balance.
Mm-hmm.
I found them on the right side here. Just the way the Bar were walking through the corridors, and then the camera pans right to reveal them in a pyramid.
They're just holding,
standing holding, there in a pyramid,
holding Big E up.
And then all through so the Bar say, "Oh yeah, we're here on SmackDown now. We always wanted to be here on SmackDown," yep. Despite them saying the complete opposite the previous week. Kofi is very funnily saying, "Oh, what happened? What happened at the Greatest Roar? What happened to those titles, eh?" And that was making me laugh. And on top of that, Big E was just right at the front of the camera, rubbing lube into his chest.
Well, he essentially at one point was just like, "Baby oil me," and then like he got given some baby oil and was just massaging his chest while this promo was going on. And then to make this even weirder, they called in Mr. Bootyworth, and a guy in a tuxedo t-shirt walked in with a plate of pancakes to give to the Bar as a welcoming present. And then they told Mr. Bootyworth to leave.
He's got to get over as an act. Like this. So this is his debut,
That's interesting. You say he's got to get over.
He's going to get over.
Well, no, I was going to say this is one of the things that is either going to get over or they're never going to bring it up again.
Yes. I hope it's the latter. I got a Big Dick Dudley vibe.
That's good. So, Big Dick, I don't know where you were
going.
Big Dick
vibe from him. I just want to see guys with larger appendages around more. And you know, is that's what Big Dick Dudley used to wear, right? The fake tuxedo shirt.
I'm sure he did. Yes. So yeah.
But I liked the addition of the character. I thought he could get over by himself as a funny thing.
Maybe.
I was super into the New Day. The Bar have good comedic timing too. This was just a very good all-round segment.
My takeaway from this is it's further proof that the New Day are writing their own segment, and that's why they tend to like come across as their own characters.
Yeah,
they're not
yeah.
coming across as WWE scripted nonsense. This is very much the New Day writing their own material. Case being in this, Sheamus then said, "I want to challenge one of you to a match." And Big E stands up and he gets in his face and he's like, "Not you, big fella." And he goes to Kofi, but then he turns to Xavier Woods and says, "I'm going to challenge you." And Xavier Woods doesn't say like, "Sure, we'll have a match." He made an obscure reference to 1995's Mortal Kombat, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. Fun fact.
Here it is, okay.
I wrote a book interviewing Paul W.S. Anderson about that movie, and you can read all about that in this, available from all good booksellers. Please buy my book. I need the royalty checks. I got my first Luke royalty. Wrote a book. I did write a book. What was
the line?
Your soul is mine, which is a Shang Tsung line from the film.
The New Day have said that before, haven't they? That Vince at the start was scripting their stuff back when they were the happy, clappy.
Sorry, I was trying
faction.
To find that. I was trying to find the chapter. There's so much in this book.
Yeah, it's so much content. He's since come to trust them, so they are allowed to write their own stuff. It was just really good.
Yeah, I like this. Like this a lot.
Then we had another backstage tag teamy segment,
but a slightly concerning. And it's, you know what's really weird? I didn't think about this until you text me about it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go through the segment. So Rusev Day are backstage. Rusev is in his Rusev Day T-shirt, and Aiden English is saying, "I'm just warming up because I've got a new song to sing." And he's about to sing the song when Lana walks in wearing a Rusev Day T-shirt. And instantly, in my mind, I was like, "Finally!
Yeah, that's
absolutely wonderful. Yes, let's go with this." And then Aiden English sort of walks away, and Lana says, "Look, you are great and all, but something has been holding you back, and we need to, you know, find a new thing for you to do." And I was like, the thing that has been holding him back is that he hasn't had Lana by his side, and the three of them together can move forward and be brilliant. And it was only until you messaged me this morning saying, like, it's a shame that Rusev Day might be splitting up, that I was like, oh no, is that what that segment was about?
Yeah,
is that
totally
what the segment was teasing? And the more I thought about it, I was like, I just got so excited at the idea of the three of them being together, I didn't even consider the notion. Because why would you? Why would you even consider splitting this act up at this point?
Because they got over by themselves, damn it.
I know, but why?
So Lana, because you kind of missed out the bit that reveals all this. Lana says, "You lost it to The Undertaker at Greatest Royal Rumble. You've been really good, but I do feel like something... You look sad." And Rusev's like, "Why would I be sad? I've got a holiday in my honour every day." And Lana says, I just feel like something's been holding you back." Pause. Aiden English walks in. "Oh, I thought I've forgotten my coat." Takes his coat, walks off. And then Lana just looks in that very soap opera obvious way. That's the guy that's holding you back.
I did not pick up on that at all. I feel like an idiot for not picking up on it, to be honest. Maybe it's just that, and it's, the physicality of that. I'll take my coat, you know, I'll get my coat because I need to go. Mm. Oh, dear.
Bros and wives. That's the thing that everyone said, the rhyming
the very rhyming couple.
Bros and wives.
Yeah.
Is the age-old question.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they become a three-person faction.
Oh, hopefully so.
But it could... It's weird that we've all been saying, why did you break up Rusev and Lana? Put them back together. And WWE like, okay. I didn't mean that.
It's like when you rub the lamp and you get your wish, but really there's something behind that wish as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't recognize
small print.
I didn't barely recognize my wife when she decided to become a vegan. It's like I'd never seen her before. Have that for free, mate.
Next, we had a big Cass promo. One of the title suggestions I wrote down for this episode is Big Cass, actually very good. There it is.
You can see it right there.
In between all-time classic WWE faction disbanded, Absolution. And Rusev Day breaking up. Yep, there's Big Cass, actually very good. I thought he did stumble a bit, but that's only because the crowd were giving him such nuclear heat.
Yeah, I really, really like this. He came out, they basically announced that this wasn't scheduled. This wasn't on their running order. Big Cass is just coming out. He comes out with all of his smiles. I just wish he was still in that suit, because I just thought he looked awesome when he was in that suit. And he basically just comes out to say, I'm better than everyone here. You're all just little people, like Daniel Bryan. You're all just, and what you need to be a WWE superstar is tall. It felt like a mocking version of what everyone thinks that Vince likes.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that everyone thinks it is what Vince likes. Vince does like big sweaty men. That's, you know, that's a well-known fact. And it just feels like he's doing this now to wind people up, to being like, mate, I'm tall. Of course I'm getting a push. Look at me. I'm very tall. I'm very handsome as well. Do you know who isn't? Daniel Bryan. He's very short.
It's really good stuff. And it's because he is so tall, and I would imagine most WWE and wrestling fans, myself included, back when I was a teenager, I wasn't a big guy. I'm still not a big guy. And you side against the bully, and Big Cass is most definitely the bully here. It's a very well motivated feud. We've already said we wouldn't have done this as Daniel Bryan's first feud. Why would you? But fine. It's happening, and they're doing this as best as they could possibly do. I've got no complaints other than the fact that it's happening. But then Cass... Yeah.
There was a great line in this, though, when he said that, because I'm also, unlike Daniel Bryan, you're not going to get a five-star match out of me, you're going to get a five-second match out of me. And I thought that's a wicked line.
That was a money line. So good. And then Cass brings out Daniel Bryan, and I thought, oh, okay. I didn't get that it was going to be a short person. I thought he was a little person.
Is the politically correct term.
That they were. I thought Bryan was going to come down now and challenge him, despite being injured. But no, it was a little person. Cass runs through some short puns. The little person's dressed up as Bryan.
It was almost like Becky Lynch wrote this segment. It was pun heavy, saying that Daniel, you're just being so short sighted about this feud. My favorite line is though when he goes like, it's when he sort of pauses like, if you put lifts in your boots, you're looking taller today.
Yeah, that was good. Short-tempered was another one.
Yeah.
And through each line, Mini Bryan like kicks Cass. He's trying to have a match. And then Cass goes, and scene. It was so funny. I really liked that.
As if everyone in the audience hadn't realised. He was like, guys, this isn't actually Daniel Bryan. This is just, he's actually a local actor. And then like took him around to give him bounce. He's available for bookings. Contact his agent. Although if I was watching this, I would not be contacting his agent because he could not take direction at all. He was like, come over here. And he'd go across to the other side. It's like, then he'd like parade and he'd be like, no, mate, come over here. Just wouldn't take direction whatsoever.
Yeah, he cheered. He soaked up the applause from all sides of the ring, and everyone knows what's coming. Big Cass is behind him, looking at him. He's preparing the big boot. The facial expression has changed, and Mini Bryan turns round right into a boot. And then Cass just starts unloading punches on him on the floor, and the referees run down. It was a real good, chaotic segment.
Yeah.
That was, you know, wasn't actually chaotic. It was, of course, all planned, but they presented it as such, and I really appreciated that. And I think Big Cass is going to do okay without Enzo Amore as an. We were always worried about that his heel persona only works because he's got Enzo Amore to go up against. But now it's Bryan, and he's getting the Cass Hole chant over.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, that could be his "You Suck" Cass Hole. It's so fun to chant; it works perfectly.
Yeah, I was a fan of this segment. Mm. It was totally like Attitude Era SmackDown nonsense, and I kind of enjoyed that.
And it built the match. Like, I'm looking forward more to the match now than I was the previous week. What more could you ask for? AJ Styles and Nakamura's apology segment was next. That's what you can ask for. I thought this was another really good segment.
This was, because this was hyped earlier in the show that because of AJ Styles' actions, Nakamura was demanding an apology from AJ Styles, which I thought was a really nice touch. So Renee's in the ring and AJ Styles comes out and he essentially cuts a promo on Nakamura saying like, he's not going to apologise. Their match is no DQ at Backlash. And they're going to... It's no disqualification, and they're going to have their match at Backlash. And so he challenges Nakamura to come down and face him, but Nakamura doesn't answer. Instead, it's Samoa Joe. And as soon as Joe's music hit, I was like, oh, God, yes. Yes, please. All of this makes me very, very excited.
So is this the first time in WWE TV these two have crossed paths?
Oh, I suppose it would be, yeah.
Because Samoa Joe debuted last year on Raw. AJ Styles has always been on SmackDown since Joe's debuted on the main roster.
So Joe was in NXT. AJ went straight to the main roster.
Yeah. So I can't think of any... they definitely haven't had a match in WWE.
Mm.
I can't think of any times where they would have shared a segment or a passing glance.
And all of a sudden, my memories of 2005 TNA just came flooding back to me.
Yeah, where's Christopher Daniels?
I was going to say, we need Daniels back. That's what we need, man. And Joe sort of used this segment to cut his promo on Roman Reigns to hype their Backlash match that I'm almost certain no one cares about, but then said after
that, it'll be a good match.
It will be a very good match, but it's not like I'm frothing at the mouth to see who comes out on top. And then, but he also then used that to transition. Is like, once I've put the big dog to sleep, I'm going to challenge whoever wins out of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship. And I'm like, yes, mate, Samoa Joe in the main event of SmackDown Live. Happy days.
And all of a sudden, AJ Styles is defending himself against Nakamura. He's defending him against Joe. He's got the challenges set up the previous week from Bryan. Although he's busy with Cass at the moment, he says, eventually I'm coming for you, AJ. And you've got all these plates spinning, multi-layered feuds. They can cross over. You can jump from one to the other. This is great wrestling booking that has been sorely lacking from WWE from the past several years, where they just stick with one program and drive it into the ground.
Yes.
I'm hugely excited about this. What a top four guys to have on a brand. Joe, Nakamura, Styles and Bryan.
Pretty much. Like, wow. What? Like that. It is great. Absolutely great. And then
it's about 10 years too late. But we got there, guys.
If this had been 10 years ago, like WWE during that really dark period might have actually been entertaining to watch. But Nakamura's music then hit. And what I loved about this, Nakamura's music hit. Joe instantly turned around and got ready for a fight. And it was great because, like, Joe challenged Nakamura or AJ. Like, he didn't say, I'm challenging you, AJ. So he was, like, turning around to see if Nakamura wanted to fight. But Nakamura snuck in behind AJ Styles, hit with a phenomenal ball arm, and then went to do the Kinshasa to the back of the head, but just ran past him to be like, I could do it. I'm not going to. No, actually, I am going to do it. And then hit him with a Kinshasa. It was great. I really enjoyed the segment.
Really good. And Nakamura's facials and just overall physicality is kind of moving like a robot that's slowly breaking down at the moment. And he's just great. He really is an anime villain that's kind of jumped out the page or the manga or the whatever Japanese stuff has, cartoons. And he's just jumped into real life.
Yeah. It's great. I like this.
And yeah, Joe turning round to square off against Nakamura, like you said.
Nice little
masterstroke.
Yeah, nice little touch.
Everyone hating everyone. Unless you're in the women's division and a babyface.
Yes.
But I didn't mind that.
Yeah, because backstage, Becky Lynch is very annoyed that she cost Asuka the match. Like she said, like, me and Asuka lost last week. No. I lost last week. I caused Asuka's first loss on SmackDown Live. She put all the blame on herself. And Asuka walked up to her and said, like, hey, look, it's fine. We just got to focus on tonight instead. And Charlotte walked in so we could have them all standing in a row. I'm pretty sure Charlotte actually looked at her mark before she stepped in and then looked at it while she was stepping in to make sure she was perfectly in place. And then said that they were going to win tonight. And Asuka then said, we have the Queen, the Empress, and Straight Fire, Avengers, assemble. And she walked out of the ring. I've written here, it was hilariously dorky.
Yeah, it was well done. And then Charlotte and Becky did their tea thing.
Tea Generation X.
And like, WWE went through this horrible phase. And I used to have it in my Raw reviews. WWE's crappy pop culture reference of the week.
You're
because
right there.
I just got a bit emotional thinking of Avengers. Did you see what Tom Holland did?
No.
Oh, it was a special... So Tom Holland is the actor of Spider-Man. And there was a special surprise screening for loads of fans where the directors came on stage and went, hey, we've got some more special guests for you. And they brought out Tom Holland. Mm. Tom Holland, the excitable chap that he is, walks in, spoils Infinity War with his opening line.
Oh, Tom Holland, man.
And you can hear the crowd go like, that the audience go, wait, it's Tom Holland. And he says it and they're still cheering, but a few people go, what?
I haven't seen that video yet, but I have seen this video being shared on Twitter that I haven't watched yet, which is Benedict Cumberbatch stopping Tom Holland from spoiling Infinity War, a saga. Apparently, like, in all their interviews, he keeps going to say stuff that's spoiling it, and Benedict Cumberbatch's like, no, can't say that.
Yeah. Bless he him. Is Doctor Strange.
He is.
But the they would do these... It was mainly Ryback. Ryback would always be given these really shoehorned-in pop culture references that were just so awkwardly scripted. But this at least came off kind of natural and kind of funny.
However, having said that, I would rather Asuka not be portrayed as a hilarious dork.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's personal preference. Next up, shock, we had a match. Like, we were...
That's a good point. How many matches?
There's only three matches on this show.
Whoa!
And there was a match... And that was kind of like my issue with this show.
I didn't even know
there was a match at the start, and then well into the second hour of the show, we had our second match. It was just backstage segments and in-ring segments and, like, build-up for Backlash. Then we had a match between Xavier Woods and Sheamus that had been set up earlier in the night. So my first note was like, oh, yeah, this is a wrestling show.
It's a testament to how good all those...
Segments were,
yeah. Or like at least how entertaining they were. Mm-hmm. And then, like, none of them were all-time classics, but they all served the purpose. They were all entertaining. They zipped along very nicely.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not notice that. It has been a while since there was actual wrestling, and I enjoyed this match. I really rate Xavier as a wrestler.
So
always
good.
Have
yeah.
done since his Consequences Creed days.
Mm-hmm. They botched the batch. Batchbreaker, look at me, I botched it. They botched a backbreaker ever so slightly. Like, the timing was a little bit off, but they recovered it so well, so it didn't look like it was an accident. Essentially, Sheamus was just like, I acted as if Xavier was trying to muscle out of it as opposed to just jumping up for the move,
yeah.
Which I thought was a really nice touch, actually. And there was a really, like, chaotic ending to this match where Xavier got up onto the apron, onto the ropes to do a big springboard elbow, but Cesaro got up in the apron to distract him. And then Big E, like, hoiked him off the apron, caught him in the big ending. Cesaro got out the big ending and pushed Big E into the ring post. And then Kofi jumped off the ring steps, and this is how chaotic it was. Kofi jumped off, and Cesaro went underneath him, and then did a little bit of a strut that they do in the Best of Both Brands video, because Cesaro is so cool. And then he got drop kicked by Xavier Woods.
And then Xavier Woods got the roll-up victory over Sheamus.
Yeah.
It was a really good ending.
Yeah, really good ending.
Unfortunately, all of the part of the match where Xavier was being worked over was done in the shrunk ad screen in the corner. So you got the start of the match where it was kind of equal, and then Sheamus started getting... As soon as Sheamus got the heat on Xavier, ad break, and you come back when Xavier's just about to have his comeback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, well, this is fine, but I'm not as emotionally invested in Xavier coming back now because I haven't seen him being worked over.
Exactly, and that's kind of the other problem with there only being three matches on this show, is that the second match that we got wasn't really a match. It just felt like it was a very short, nothing match. Mm. However, the big takeaway from this is that, and I don't want to alarm anyone here, the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers are having a feud over the tag team titles, which means I think we're having a second tag team feud independent of the other one.
It's like a number one contenders situation, almost.
Crikey.
Bloody brilliant.
Bloody brilliant. Have we got other tag teams on SmackDown? Oh, the Good Brothers.
People, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Gallows and Anderson. No.
Yeah, Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, yeah, they're with... Yeah. But Carl Anderson was taken out the previous week by Nakamura's knee. I just think it's amazing how New Day are such faces... despite having a one-man advantage most of the time.
Yes.
That's absolutely quite difficult to pull off.
It really is, yeah. Paige here. Oh, no, we've got another segment before Paige was here.
Yeah, it was Becky after... This was from the previous week after Becky had lost her tag match. She's walking backstage, and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville of Absolution are there, and they make fun of Becky for losing.
Essentially, they know she's there, and they're just going like, God, that Becky, she's well a loser. She did a massive loss this week. And then Becky, and they're like, oh, God, Becky, I didn't see you there. And again, tying into this storyline, that Becky has lost her place within the SmackDown Live women's division, and everyone looks at her as a loser. And now she's got to try and find that fire again to reclaim her role as the dominant female. She was the inaugural SmackDown Live women's champion. She needs to find what got her there in the first place. Nice little show-long storyline that they told.
Yeah, and it just makes SmackDown feel like a living, breathing world outside of all the in-ring bits.
Yes.
And backstage interviews. I really, really like the presentation of SmackDown at the moment. And then it cuts to present day, and Paige is backstage, and Absolution come into her office, and they're like, hey, Paige, our former Raw leader, Absolution back together, gal. So, who's getting the title shot
first?
Well,
it was really, they played this really nicely, which was like, all we want to know is which one of us is it.
Yeah.
And Paige was like, oh, it's going to be Mandy Rose. She's going to have a match with Becky Lynch next week. And they were like, oh, I mean, I thought it was going to be a SmackDown Live Women's Championship match. And Paige was like, no, you've got to earn that here. And this is when they essentially said, Paige said, Absolution is dead.
Yeah.
And she looked at their t-shirts and was like, as if, those are silly now, aren't they? You're wearing t-shirts for a group that's not together anymore. So I guess they're either... I mean, I don't think they're going to go their separate ways, but they'll just get a new tag team name.
Mm. Which would be pretty good, because Iconic, seeing them later on, that if they do get these women's tag belts, I'm kind of getting on board with this now. That's a tag team. Absolution can be a tag team. I don't know. Maybe I just want to see the Iconics with tag team belts.
I just want to see more of the Iconics on SmackDown.
Yeah.
We then got a cell phone promo from Zelina Vega that was filmed on a very windy day. Probably could have done a retake on this. But it was. I really liked it, because it was just like, everyone wants to know when Andrade, words popping up, is debuting on SmackDown Live. He's going to debut when he feels like it.
Yeah, we know when he's debuiting. You'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out. Like this.
And words. But words were back on
words
screen.
On screen. But they appear to be, I mean, I don't know, because Alma said this in his promo, and then Corey Graves reiterated it when it cut back to the commentators, that they are trying to use Tranquillo as Almas's gimmick.
Of course, that Tetsuya Naito's thing, really.
Yeah.
Which is weird to
it,
do.
It was a bit weird.
Too sweet, man. Cease and desist. Someone send it to them. And then we got that after a Backlash card rundown for Luke's information purposes only. So you know what's on the card now.
Mm, and I've already forgotten.
We got Charlotte, Becky Lynch and Asuka versus the Iconics and Carmella in a pretty fun match.
I loved this match. I thought it was a really, really good main event. It got a lot of time, and there was like crazy spots towards the end. It always felt quite chaotic. I really, really enjoyed this.
And just looking at those six women there, good grief, SmackDown has a good roster.
Oh, it's got a stacked women's roster at the moment. It really has.
Like, I know Raw's got Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. But I mean, Ronda Rousey doesn't feel stale, but Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, the colour red, that feels stale, right?
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown, like, oh, just so excited about everything they do. I said it to you yesterday. I'm genuinely looking forward to SmackDown.
As am I. Every time I review it now, I'm always really looking forward to getting up on a Wednesday morning to watch SmackDown live. It's a really fun show to watch. I mean, it never feels like it's 2 hours length either. Mm. It always zips by. It's a really snappy show.
Whereas Raw is a chore a lot of the times. Like, it's nice if it's good.
Yeah.
Like, that is the exception to the rule, whereas SmackDown is, no, it's pretty much always good for the last month.
And, like, SmackDown really did get the better end of the superstar shakeup because they did get quality over quantity. And when I think about who Raw got, and then I kind of replay segments in my head, I'm like, man, Baron Corbin is feuding with No Way Jose and Titus Worldwide. Like, is that your best use of Baron Corbin?
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that could be done better on Raw, particularly their main event scene, but that's another conversation for another time.
So
this was a fun match.
So Asuka won this match with an Asuka lock on Peyton. Peyton tapped out, but it's fine because the Iconics beat Asuka the previous week.
Exactly.
Charlotte hit a huge moonsault off the top turnbuckle to the outside on Carmella and Billy Kay.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed this.
And then the show ended with Carmella holding her title belt at the top of the ramp, staring for a long time,
yeah,
at Charlotte.
And it was, and perhaps it was the way that the story had, like, the show had been structured and the way they would sort of tell these stories. When the little graphic came up in the corner to say, like, hey, 205 Live's coming next on the WWE Network, my thought was, it's not the end of the show. One of them, there's going to be something that happens. And I was trying to, like, keep my eyes on what was happening with Asuka and Becky in the corner. And that's not me being like, oh, I think something is going to happen. I think that's just the way that they've been telling these stories of where, like, is Asuka going to get something off of these WrestleMania losses and the SmackDown loss? Is she going to get a revenge on Becky? Is Becky going to realize that maybe I need to do something and attack someone and show that I am a dominant female? And it made me feel a bit like, not on edge, but just being like, oh man, I think something might happen here.
Yeah, so a good show overall.
Mm.
I would give this a very high smack bang in the middle. But, you know, if this was a show a couple of months ago when SmackDown was in its bad state, I would say it was smacktastic.
Yeah,
it's just like SmackDown has hired my expectations for what it is.
You're absolutely right. And I also gave it a smack bang in the middle as well. I think the only reason I took it down to a flat smack bang in the middle is because there wasn't a lot of wrestling on this wrestling show. It was just a lot of angles and stuff. And perhaps this is just me being a cynical Charlie, but I'm not excited for Backlash. I just don't feel like
I'm excited for Nak and AJ in a disqualification match.
But I just saw it a few days ago. So, like, maybe, like, that's why I'm not that excited. I'm not excited for Roman and Joe. I'm not excited for... I'm a bit excited for Charlotte Carmella, but I'm not excited for Nia and Alexa. And there's a lot of stuff on the show that I'm not massively enthused by.
Yeah, I understand that. I've never bought into Nax and AJ being a big match at Greatest Royal Rumble, so I feel like they're going to do it better here.
I just think, in hindsight, someone actually sent a message about this yesterday on Twitter asking about, like, why did they do that booking for Roman and Brock at the end of Greatest Royal Rumble? And I was like, I mean, it's not the way I would have booked it, but then again, if it was me, I wouldn't have booked that match at Greatest Royal Rumble. I would have given Brock a different challenger so that you can still keep that Roman-Brock thing. If that's your intention is for Roman to still win the belt, I wouldn't have done that match at Greatest Royal Rumble. Similarly, I wouldn't have done AJ Nakamura at Greatest Royal Rumble either. I would have given AJ a different challenger.
Hornspoon, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
I do not.
That is a spoon made of horn. So I'm guessing that is a animal horn as opposed to the musical instrument horn.
Yes, I would assume so too.
Sometimes those horns just fall off. It's just what, just knocking around.
Yeah, man.
And you can grow them as well. You can plant some horns. get a little horn bush.
Like the magical money tree.
Yeah, exactly. So this is used. I'm reading from Wikipedia now. Used chiefly interjectionally in the phrase. What a sentence that is. By the great horn spoon, as in the children's novel of that title by Sid Fleischman. Horn spoons are still used for eating boiled eggs because they don't tarnish, like silver, from the sulphurous yolk. Horn and the mother of pearl are used for caviar because a silver spoon would unpleasantly affect the taste of the delicate roe.
That sounds like it was... Someone had written a description of a horn spoon, and then someone... with far too much time on their hands, who is also very wealthy and has no perspective on absolutely anything in the world, went through and edited it to make it more correct in his view, or their view, I should say.
Well, I mean, you know, caviar. We all know caviar tastes best from the hands of poor people. You just get them. You get them to stand there. Of course, wash their hands first. It's going to be filthy. And then you just eat them out of their little palms.
Mm, and delicious. That is, yes.
I mean, you know, it's the food doesn't change chemistry or anything like that in taste. It's more the feeling that they're subservient to you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great. I got it through an experience day from Virgin. That weird things, like loads of strange things they have. What else can we talk about?
Well, I went out last night.
Covered spoons.
I went out for dinner last night.
What was the spoons like?
Well, we didn't use a spoon.
What?
Yeah, I know. Well, because I told you yesterday I was going out for dinner with my sister-in-law and her boyfriend with my wife, and we were initially going to go to a place called Francomanca, which in Ealing.
It's a pizza place.
It is a pizza place. And as soon as I found out it was a pizza place, I was like, ah, well, I'm sure Ollie Davis will be very excited.
It's a sourdough pizza place.
It is. He'll be very excited to hear about the pizzas I have. However, what we'd ordered is like some, I had some olives and we had some like rosemary garlic bread, like pizza bread with rosemary and sea salt and a bottle of wine. And then when we went to place our orders, they told us that they didn't have any gluten-free bases left, meaning my wife couldn't eat anything.
Base.
So we just got our check. And we went across the road to another restaurant, the Honest Burger Company, and we had burgers instead because I chuffin' love a burger, and I had a big old meaty burger, not a vegan day yesterday, and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. It was wonderful.
So you had a pizza burger on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and you had a burger and kind of a bit of a pizza.
And a bit of a pizza, yeah.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That would be, I mean, that is a diet I can get on board
oh,
with.
Oh, I'm
you
so...
You hear about the 5-2 diet, the ketogenic diet.
The 5-guys diet.
I want
the
pizza and burger diet.
Oh, yes,
but
please.
It's like exclusive. You can't have, you know, you can't go crazy. You can't have chips. But you can have a full-on bun and pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And burger.
Yeah, I'm well on board for that as well. Maybe we could, to be honest, you could really just make that up. And just if you put it onto like a food blog and says like, I lost 7 stone by doing this diet, someone would believe it.
Well, you just have to eat it once a week. That's all you get with it.
Mm.
But what a few hours that is.
What a few hours of joy.
Have you ever had, speaking of burgers and pizzas, did you ever have when it was a thing, I think it's illegal now, but Pizza Hut had a stuffed crust burger pizza?
Yes, I did indeed once have that. It was filling.
Yes.
Like it was very filling. For those of you who might not know what we're talking about or don't remember this, Pizza Hut once released a pizza, so you had like, you got your regular topping on it, but rather than a stuffed crust, it was a crust that had a cheeseburger patty, or a burger with cheese on top of it, like just cooked into the crust as well. So you had your pizza, and then at the end of it, you had a cheeseburger. Mm. And it was, I mean, you'd have like 2 slices, and then like, I just cannot eat any more of this.
Yeah, it was pretty dense. How did you eat yours? Because I found the best way, and it actually transformed the experience, because, you know, you eat the triangle of the pizza, and then you're like, now I've just got like a separate meal to eat here. Okay. However, 3 slices in, I'm like, wait a second. I usually fold my pizza down the middle.
Yes.
Just fold the pizza so it goes towards the burger.
Oh.
You create a pizza bun for the burger. It was still filthy to the max, but it was a lot more pleasurable.
I was actually just about to ask how you eat your pizzas, because I am also a fold man. I like, you know, bend it down the middle and fold it. And my wife had never seen that before. And she was like, is that how you eat pizza? I was like, yeah, I've thought that a lot of people ate pizza like
this.
You can
get more in quicker.
Yeah, I love it. Makes it almost feel like a pasty then.
Mm.
And if there's one thing I love more than... Oh, do I love it more than a burger? And I don't think I love it more than a burger, but I love it almost equal to a burger, is a pasty.
Cool.
Yes. But anyway, we went out for the Honest Burger Company and then had another bottle of wine. So I went to bed last night. I fell asleep very quickly last night.
Well, or did you fall asleep, Luke? This is what the sleep podcast has taught me. You were not, your brain was not asleep. You were sedated by alcohol. It is a very different sensation, neurologically speaking. So this is another factoid you can repeat to people, which is probably Chinese whispers 90% true now.
A bit like when...
It was 100% true when I heard it. Filtered through me, 90% true.
Oh, I thought you meant it was more like one of those sort of urban myths.
No.
Like when I told you that the dairy industry were the people that told that put in that idea that too much soy milk is can give you tits. Like that was a... because it's not true. It's actually not true at all. But, yeah, that it was perpetrated by the dairy industry to put people off drinking too much soy milk.
Yeah, all the god that these new startups with the soy milk, dairy needs to reassert its dominance at the top.
Exactly, yeah.
So the way sleep works is people think that drinking a lot of alcohol or maybe smoking a lot of the ganja will make them fall asleep. And, you know, that's a good way to get sleep. Incorrect completely. It is sedating you into a state of sedation, as it were, and your brain is not experiencing sleep like it normally would. Instead, it suppresses REM sleep, which is hugely important. That's where you dream. And that's why, I don't know if you've had a particular heavy night out, you have these intense dreams just before you wake up. And the is this something?
I don't often remember dreams, okay. but I could buy into this.
I certainly do, and I was unaware this was the reason. It is because all that alcohol is suppressing the REM dream sleep throughout, like, the 7 or 8 hours of sleep you have that particularly hungover night, and then because your brain has this capacity of like, no, we need to catch up now. I need to catch up on the REM sleep. Once the liver has sorted out, got most of the alcohol out of your system, which is around a couple of hours before you wake up, your brain goes, okay, now we can REM sleep, boom, and it gets it all into this one intense blast, when usually it's split up into 15 minute segments throughout the night.
Interesting.
And that's why you have these crazy intense dreams before you wake up on a Saturday morning.
Did by any chance this lad cover sleepwalking and what can cause sleepwalking? Just out of curiosity, because he did. This is something that I suffer from.
It's demons.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, yeah. You're haunted.
I hope my wife doesn't hear that bit, because that will just scare her. Yeah.
It's you're haunted in the butt, he said.
Oh, really?
You've got a haunted ass.
That'd explain my colitis.
Well, there we go. That's I hope that's been useful to people. Maybe you come up with a useful fact next. We've got backlash predictions later. Find us a useful fact in the next hour.
Oh, but the problem,
and we can do
the problem
it in the podcast intro.
So the problem is, like, I don't listen to interesting podcasts. Apart from, like, The Guilty Feminist is probably about the only podcast I listen to that talks about, and we use this term broadly, real world things. So all the other podcasts I listen to either are about wrestling from the past, Simpsons from the past, The Twilight Zone, Japanese monster movies, horror movies, and what else? Other cartoons.
Marvel.
No, I don't really have a comics book podcast.
I thought you had Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah, comic book movies. What else do I listen to? That's more or less about it. Like,
just get us an anecdote from one of those, an interesting factoid from the past.
From the past.
We need something. Need something for
back. Because you and I've got to record another intro and outro in a little bit, and we'll have talked in between there. We could play Mario Kart and then just talk about
We don't have time for a break, Luke. We've got to record 20 hours of... We've got to do the equivalent of Daniel Bryan's greatest Royal Rumble run.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's going to take us long to get through the backlash predictions. Not that I'm telling anyone that you shouldn't listen to that episode.
You always say that. It's going to take us forever.
It's not going to take us forever.
Because half of it is just going to be us padding with... I don't really care about this pay-per-view.
I honestly don't think it's going to take as long to do. I think I've already got in my mind who I think is winning most of the matches for the best of both brands. There's only 8 matches on the card.
I've missed those days.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had 15 matches on cards.
And you're right as well. They are all singles matches. How incredible is that? And not even there's only one of them with a gimmick.
One tag match. Yeah.
There's not a single tag team championship match on this show.
Is interesting.
The Deleter of Worlds haven't got a match, and neither have the Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh well. We will see you tomorrow for Backlash predictions, and hopefully...
Is it tomorrow?
Well, that's when this will go up. The Backlash predictions will go up, right?
Well, we could put it up on Thursday if you want.
Let's go Thursday crazy. Okay. And and some WrestleMania X7 imminently.
Imminently. But yeah, so take care. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.